Hello, and welcome to the Sunflower Allotment Podcast.
It's a podcast for anybody and everybody interested in vegetables and fruit.
And just loving being on the allotment.
Yes, yes. Exactly. We're here today on my plot, and it's a lovely sunny day, getting quite warm actually, but we thought we'd have a chat about jobs that we have been doing over the last few weeks, over Easter and in March, and then we thought we'd have a bit of a chat about what jobs we've got coming up and jobs and general sort of tasks for April. So yeah, that's what we're going to cover today.
Right, let's get into it. But yes, we're on Rachel's allotment, and isn't it amazing? Because it is sunny.
It is sunny.
And it's not just sunny, it feels warm. Yes. We're here in t-shirts and shirts, and a couple of weeks ago we were having snow. It is the amazing thing about this country. You can go from winter, or you know, it almost feels like summer. But we could have snow again next week, but we're not going to.
It feels like it's been the longest winter as well.
It really does.
It seemed to go on forever. And I was just going to add on that, your plot, Rachel, looks sublime.
Oh.
Honestly,
it does look amazing.
Incredible.
You're putting us all to shame.
Yeah, I was fortunate to come a bit earlier with Lara, and we walked around and you showed us the pond with all the tadpoles and all the life from the pond, and then all your amazing... parts of your allotment, your different beds and your wallflowers. It's really, really pretty.
Oh,
it's really loving
you.
Your chickens. So so really just a lovely place to be. It's a lovely oasis in the middle of North Norwich.
It's lovely seeing things in flower. I mean, daffodils still going strong.
Yes.
So looking at your plot then, Rachel, what have you been doing in the first parts of spring and in March and first few weeks of April?
So I've been pretty lucky because I work at university part of the week. They close for a portion of Easter. So the reason my plot is looking so full of life and organised is because I've had time off work. So I've been able to come down here a bit more. So I have been trying very hard not to dig after our recent conversations with Stephanie.
Mm.
As much as I love digging, I have not been digging. I have been adding mulch and compost and things to the tops of my beds and...
Yep.
Hoeing off the weeds and digging out individual root systems if I need to. So lots of that, which has felt really good, actually. Mentally, I feel like I'm doing a good job, so that's nice.
You can tell, can't you?
You can, and it's always lovely, that feeling of connection once you get your hands in the soil,
isn't it? Yes, exactly.
And it's how you learn your allotment. It talks to you, doesn't it?
It speaks to you. You can tell, sort of, because although you're not digging, you do need to sort of check what sort of soil you've got. So getting your hands in and seeing how many worms there are, sort of how far we've had quite a lot of rain in the last couple of months, so seeing how far the moisture sort of has fed through the soil, whether it's just the top layer that's got some moisture in it, and I'm pleasantly surprised that it has actually managed to soak through a bit more than it usually has, so that's nice.
And it was unbelievably dry.
It really
end of
was.
January you go down 2 inches and mine was dry as a bone. It's not now because we've had a very wet February and a very wet March. Very wet March. But it is, it's looking fantastic, Rachel.
Oh, thank you.
Hardly a hair or weed out of place.
Well, that's definitely not true, but...
what have you planted?
So, I've been planting quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. So I've got some peas in, some sort of traditional garden peas, and they're growing up what used to be the allotment gate, just over there. The old gate got a bit flimsy and my very kind boyfriend built me a new one out of something else that had fallen to bits, so I used the old gate to grow the peas up, so I've got them in. Got my potatoes in, my early potatoes in, which I'm pleased about. A kind allotment neighbour gave me some brassicas, some broccoli, so I've managed to get them in.
Mm.
And my broad beans, I've sort of moved them around so that they're... because I plant them in the autumn, I've moved them around so that they're closer together. Any that didn't come up, I've packed them in closer now so that they should hopefully be able to pollinate and stuff.
Should we walk?
Mm. Yeah, we could do that.
And because your leeks are looking fabulous.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to walk towards, because you mentioned earlier that you've got these overwintering leeks, which I've never heard of before.
Yeah, and I wish I could remember the variety. I think I've got the label somewhere, but my leeks I love leeks, but they don't tend to do very well down here because it's just so hot and dry and south-facing. So this year I tried some that you can overwinter, so I planted them in the autumn. Three rows of them, and they're looking good and strong and healthy, and some of them I could probably harvest now as mini leeks if I wanted. So yeah, I'm pleased with them. That's probably the healthiest looking leeks I've ever had.
Yeah,
so I'm overwintering ones for me again, I think.
And the strawberries are looking good. And I love your companion planting. You've got Narcissi alongside the strawberries.
Yeah.
And it's just pretty as a picture. And I really love your potager style gardening. Well, and it just works so well.
Well, as I've said many a time, I really enjoy the flowers. Mm. But as much as for me, they really are about the pollinators. It makes me really happy down here to see bees and hoverflies and all sorts of bugs and things flying around and having a feed. So that's what that's about.
A bee hotel on
the wall? Yes, the bee hotel is looking a bit sorry for itself these days. Yeah. It's all collapsing, but it's there.
It all helps.
It all helps.
It really does.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what's staggering to see is as soon as we get... I always think it's... Once we get past the equinox on the 21st of March and the days start getting longer, everything just goes bang, doesn't it?
It bursts into life, doesn't it?
And it's just such a beautiful time. I love it, especially after such a long, cold, dark winter. You might be interested to know. Here we are. The date today is April the
15th.
So, first light is at 5:16 in the morning. Here we are. This is for Norwich.
I could tell you that because I was up just before that. And I've been up since. Yes. The joys of having a 2.5-year-old.
Absolutely. Sunrise. You might be able to tell me, Tim, what time is sunrise?
Oh, it's going to be, what is it? It's about 6:05?
No, it's about 40 minutes later. So, sunrise is at 5:53 today.
Oh, okay.
Sunset is at 7:56 and last light is at 8:33.
Wow.
So, you know, amazingly long days is the point. And that's just about 13 hours of sunshine.
Brilliant.
And it's strong sun, you know, it's up in the sky. I love that combination of cold, you know, still cold air because we're at the tail end of winter.
Yeah.
Especially not being far from the North Sea, you feel it in the air. But the sun is strong.
Yeah, it's got real warmth in it now, hasn't it?
And what it's doing for the plants is just amazing. So, yeah. The days get longer, and also it means longer for gardening, doesn't it?
It does.
You get in
there
after work, and or first thing in the morning, and there are other special times to be on the plot.
It's easier to fit jobs in, isn't it? And just more time to be outside in general.
Yeah, and you've been away, Peter, but since you've come back, what have you been doing on the plot?
Taking stock, really. In terms of supplies, everything's running low.
Yeah.
I've just finished the last shallots. The garlic is hanging on. We've still got some garlic left, but and I've grown an extra long storing variety this year.
Ooh.
It's just really interesting as things finish. The end of the cauliflowers. The end of the leeks. I've got two or three squashes left.
Brilliant.
The blotty beans were just eaten yesterday, the last of the blotty beans. So, it's been great. As things finish, then things are coming on.
Yeah.
I've been weeding mostly, having been away, which I feel guilty about, but did have a fantastic break in Cornwall. So weeding and taking stock and... looking after all the seedlings.
Yeah.
Hundreds of seedlings at home, and a kind neighbour watered them, but they're all ready to go in.
Brilliant.
And things in the polytunnel, which had just stalled in the long, cold days. But the radicchio, I mean, that's the wonderful thing about a polytunnel or a greenhouse or even cold frames. To be having salad now at this time of the year, the radicchio are just fantastic eating.
Yeah.
And they're the size of a cauliflower.
Oh, wow. I was going to ask you if you've still, because you said sort of some of your supplies are running low, but have you got some food stuffs? Obviously, you've got the radicchio, but have you got anything else that you're able to harvest at the moment?
Yes, I mean, the parsley is, they're small bushes. It suddenly was looking very sad because it was so cold over winter. But the parsley, all the herbs are taking off, the chives. In the polytunnel, rocket, beetroot are doing really well, not ready for eating, but lots of things in the polytunnel have suddenly taken off, just the warmth and the extra light.
Yeah.
And it's great to be bringing things on early. The potatoes, the first earlies I did get in, think it was March the 15th. I was aiming for St. Patrick's Day in honour of my Irish blood, but which we all have, don't we? We all claim to that.
It's a bit of a pirate blood, isn't it?
That explains his love of the sea.
Yes. Well, if you'll forgive me a little aside, I was talking to my dad the other day, and he's just been persuaded by my sister to have a DNA test. And he's just discovered that his father was not his father.
What? Oh my goodness.
At 95.
Wow.
His father can't be his father.
Wow.
His father, because his blood test, his DNA test has come back with something like 55% Russian.
And he
remembers his mother having a very close friend who was called Yanka, who was in the Russian Navy. We like to think he was part of the mutiny of the 1917 mutiny and the battleship to Potemkin.
Wow.
So, yes, it's very odd.
Wow.
I don't know if it's also the great time to discover that I am, a quarter Russian?
Yeah, goodness me, Peter. Yeah. This is big news.
I know. It's slightly shocking. I'm still... My dad's completely unfazed. I said, Dad, that means we're not Martins. And he said, oh, yes, I suppose that hadn't occurred to me.
Wow.
But it does explain... The point behind all that does explain why I love beetroot and borscht and cabbage and all those real peasanty things I love with a passion. what am I doing? I mean, those have been the main jobs, getting back into it. A bit slow, but I've got potatoes in, but the rest are all ready to go in.
Brilliant.
All the second earlies and the main crop. Still plenty of time for them to go in. Good Friday was only last Friday,
yes,
a week ago, so... Mm. That's the day for putting potatoes in. But, and then putting in nasturtiums and things like that. And,
yeah,
and the thing that gives me greatest joy on the plot at the moment is several years ago I put in fritillaries, or I suppose, in honour of you as a Royal Horticultural Society student, I should say, fritillaria.
Oh, yes, that's
anyway,
full name.
All the snakes said fritillary. I can only say fritillaries.
It's fine, Peter.
They're all out underneath.
You're not going to pass that Irish test exam, are you?
No, I'm definitely not. But they're all out alongside Narcissi and Narcissi under the apple tree. And it's a thing of such heart-aching beauty.
Yeah.
It does melt my heart. I spend far too long just sitting on the bench looking at the snake's head fritillaries under the apple tree with the first blossom coming out. And it really is heart achingly beautiful.
Oh. That's lovely to hear. Mm. And I don't think you can spend too long sitting on the bench. I think that's what we all need to do more of sometimes. What about you, Tim? What have you been up to on the plot?
I've been really busy the last week on the plot, actually. Really, really busy, which is due to the fact I had done very little for a couple of weeks and I started to get very anxious.
Oh.
I got the allotment anxiety and I was messaging Peter saying, what am I going to do? I haven't got my potatoes in. Everyone's putting them in. But I was fortunate this week being off, as it's Easter, so I had a week off. And our littlest is only 6 months old, and he naps three times a day. So three times a day, I put him on me, strap him onto my chest, and I go to the allotment. And he sleeps for about an hour, hour and 15.
Brilliant.
And he has been amazing at letting me thrash about on the allotment.
also, after all, how, as humans, as a species, we must have gardened like that for thousands of years with children strapped to backs.
No, it did feel very wholesome to be... digging around, my hands in the dirt, and hearing him snore right close to me. It was lovely. But he's been brilliant at letting me do that. And I've been down three times a day sometimes for the last week, so 3 hours a day, and been really productive, which is great. And compared to last year when I was mostly building the plot, and scaffolding boards, and spending a lot of time doing that, I feel like I'm now planting, which is what you two seem to talk about doing a lot. And that's been great, putting the second earlies in, the onions are in, the beans are in, the overwintering garlic are doing really well, rhubarb's coming through, and it feels like the plot is sort of how I imagined it last year.
Great.
when I was thinking about it. So it's been nice, and it is a lot of work. It has taken time, but it's been incredibly rewarding. One of the things I've really enjoyed doing is getting really low to the ground. Where before, digging wasn't great for my head. So now I just go and sit on the ground and I shuffle and dig with a fork. It's quite hard work, but just dig with a fork at ground level. And what I've realised is you see a totally different perspective from 6 inches off the ground than 6 foot.
Yeah.
And I've become really close to worms in two senses, literally close to them. But also I find myself being the steward of the worm. So when I'm digging, I used to kind of just, you know, throw worms about. But now I see the birds fly around. I was like, get back in, because I appreciate the importance of worms.
Yeah.
It's
but
amazing when you're digging, suddenly... what's that song about? Why do birds? You can be digging, and suddenly there's robins,
blackbirds.
They sit on my spade.
Yeah, same.
Really tame.
Yeah, on my spade as well.
They're so brazen, aren't they? And eager.
Yeah, they're desperate for those worms.
But I've been really putting them back in because I realise how important worms are. But it's really nice to be that low to the ground and be really amongst it. And I've tried to not do as much digging, as you mentioned earlier, but I've had to do a bit because I had to dig a new area for some potatoes. But
the other thing that's that I love about what you've just said is getting down and getting your hands in the soil is just a real reminder that when we're gardening, we use all our senses.
Yes.
Yeah. We use the sense of smell. We use our sight, of course, a lot. But touch is so important. Yeah. Actually feeling the texture of the soil. Is such a good experience and tells you so much.
Yeah.
So it's great that you've had that experience and living the digging dream, non-digging dream.
Well, something funny happened to me on the plot the other day. Somebody put on the Facebook group that unfortunately they'd had their trellis stolen, and we have quite a lot of vandalism on our plot. Mm-hmm. And there's been in the news recently that big case in Essex, and we've had a few break-ins, and somebody put on their plot that they'd had their trellis stolen as well as a few other things, and that someone was going around taking pictures. And a couple of days later, Sharon Koppel, who is the site rep, called me, and I said, "Hi Sharon, how you doing?" She said, "Yeah, I just thought I'd let you know that you've been identified as the man who's been stealing trellises and other things."
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
It was you!
Yeah. And she said, "I don't think it's you, but I just thought I'd check."
So Tim, is this a confession?
Or it's not a confession.
Is this stating your innocence?
No, this is a part of my acquittal. And I said, no, that wasn't me.
The least likely person is hard to imagine.
Yeah, that somebody had taken a picture of me walking around the plot because I was looking suspicious because I was taking pictures of other people's plots. And I said to Sharon, that was me, actually. I was taking pictures for the Allotment Podcast Twitter account. And the reason I was walking on another plot was because I keep my tools in Peter's shed. And it turns out this chap, unfortunately, had his stuff stolen, was on a plot near you. So, yeah, I've been accused of stealing.
Oh, goodness.
But I actually went and spoke to the guy yesterday.
You've mentioned this awful case in Essex, but I think it's absolutely right. We just mentioned and say a little bit more.
Yes, I agree.
So this is Carly Bird from Harlow in Essex, who has been absolutely amazing, and that she's turned over her allotment to almost like a community garden, but she does the gardening, has volunteers who come and help. Mm. And it's all to feed people.
Yes. It's incredible. It's like a food bank from her own land, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And it's very philanthropic. It's something which addresses a real need in society. It's been a brilliant, brilliant scheme. And it was tragic to her to learn this week that somebody had climbed over and put something like 5 kilograms of salt on the plants and killed them, of course. The potatoes, all the crops, so many of the crops destroyed. Absolutely tragic. And we just kind of want to say, she's amazing.
Yeah.
And we'd love to go and visit her and try and find ways to support her.
Yes,
help.
Absolutely. And I hope it sounds like she wants to carry on and keep doing the good work that she's doing. But and it is good to hear that she's had a lot of support from other people. But, yeah, we just want to sort of show solidarity and say how sorry we are that it's happened because...
Who would do such a thing?
It's an awful thing to do.
Really, really,
and it's not just destroying the plants, it's damaging the soil, which...
Yes.
So...
ways around it. But anyway, respect to Carly Bird and her, all her helpers, and good luck with sorting it out.
Yes.
So here we are on the 15th of April. What are you two going to be doing on the plot for the next couple of weeks?
So my...
Ah, it worked. Hello, there you are. Andrew here, and this is Shandor.
Hello.
We've got a brand new season of the Family Histories podcast for you with another 7 fascinating guests who'll be telling us about their secretive granny, a brave sailor, a political poet, a merchant seaman, a priestly lover, a resistance member, and a magnificent aunt that they've discovered in their family trees. And did I mention that there's a secret time machine? No, of course I didn't. Anyway, search for the Family Histories podcast after this episode to join us on our trip back in time. Okay, you can switch it off now.
Main jobs, I think, are going to be continuing to sow lots of seeds. So I can start sowing courgettes and sweet corn and beans. So filling up my greenhouse, I think, with all sorts of things.
So you're going to sow those indoors still, because it's still
indoors.
A bit cold at night.
Exactly, yeah. And then I generally do that around this time every year and then keep an eye on them and then bring them outside for a bit to sort of harden off and then plant them.
So you'll plant those in May, middle of May?
Now, I'll start planting. I'll start planting them out. Yeah. Depending on the weather, normally May, mid-May. Yeah.
Okay,
and depending on the size. To be honest, I might have started some seedlings off earlier in the year normally, but because it's been a bit cold, I've waited a little longer.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots of seed sowing. And with that in mind, I have a little gift for you both.
Oh.
because we've talked a lot about green manures. And they're good for pollinators and they're attractive and add nutrients and things to the soil. So I've got two packets here of different things and I thought you could choose whichever one you both wanted. So we've got crimson clover, which says on the packet that it revitalises poor soils naturally and fixes nitrogen into the soil. And we've got Phacelia.
Oh, I love Phacelia.
Uh-huh. Oh, I was going to shotgun Phacelia.
Well.
Only because Stephanie Hafferty mentioned it and I didn't recognise the other
you
one.
You could half and half them because they're quite big seed
pockets.
You
take the Phacelia, I'll take this other one.
But yeah, they're both great for pollinators and
brilliant.
Good for improving the soil structure. Brilliant. So there you go.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
And also the seeds from Phacelia. I didn't do it last year, but Anna on the plot next to me had knew she was going to have a very busy year and covered her plot in Phacelia. And I always meant to save the seeds, but I never did, partly just because everything looked so pretty.
Yeah.
And it's nice for the birds and the wildlife. But thank you. Brilliant.
Phacelia I know as well. Once you've had it once, like I've sown it once, you'll never need to sow it again. I've got all the seedlings over there.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Fantastic.
So, and just with green manure, because I've never done it before, the idea is that you grow it and then you dig it into the soil.
Yeah.
So that all that nitrogen that's in the plant goes into the soil. And then you would, leave that for a bit? Would you cover it?
It does depend on the type of green manure. So crimson clover, which you've got there, Tim, I haven't grown that before. And I can't remember whether you need to just chop the tops off and then leave them on the surface, or whether you sort of dig out the plant and then leave that on the surface. If we're going no dig, then you can just leave it all on the surface.
Yeah.
And it should break down and add to the soil. Or you could dig things in, like Phacelia, you can dig in, or again, you can leave it on the surface.
Yeah.
Some of these plants, like some of the advice is sometimes to not let them go to flower and to seed. But I always do, because they're great for the pollinators. So for me, it's a double-edged thing, especially this one, crimson clover, I think fixes nitrogen in the soil through its roots. So you want to let that grow for as long as possible, Tim.
Great.
And then you can grow it between crops.
I was just going to say then, so... See, I don't have a huge amount of space on my plot, so I could grow them in between strawberries or in between potatoes
because they get quite tall, crimson clover grow to a maximum of 50 centimetres. You might want to consider what crops you grow them with. So I've got crimson clover to grow this year, and I'm going to grow it between my sweet corn, because they grow tall, so, or stuff like beans. There's your present. Peter, what have you been doing? What are you going to be doing in April? Have you got
what am I going to be
plots
doing in
and
April?
Schemes?
Well, in return for your green manure, I've got something for you too.
Ah.
Because, as you know, I love growing things to go in the store cupboard.
Yes.
And last year, I had pretty good success with... it's growing protein is slightly rarer. We grow vegetables for eating, but protein less so. And last year I had a lot of success with the gigantes, the big fava beans, however you want to say it.
and they store and just make endless fantastic dishes. And I thought I'd eaten all my seeds. And so I ordered a load. And then I discovered I'd hidden them away because I knew if Chloe found them, she would cook them. So I found my supply of beans that I saved from last year's crop. So the ones I've ordered are for you.
Oh.
So there's a packet of the Greek Gigantes runner beans.
So cool.
Brilliant.
And they're just such pretty flowers. They're once they're in, they're really easy to grow. And just don't rot them, Tim, like the ones I gave you last year.
Oh, you'll never live it down.
The seeds, don't soak them. Don't keep it. Don't let the seed as it's germinating get too wet. It will rot. And there goes a helicopter overhead. But once they're in the ground, yeah, as long as they're watered. And they're beautiful flowers. And they make these fantastic beans. They're the biggest butter bean there is. And they're just great eating. They're great to make a dip or hummus type thing.
Brilliant.
They make fabulous stews throughout the winter. They're fabulous.
Oh, thank
enjoy,
you very
enjoy,
much.
Enjoy eating and growing them.
Can I add that to my April jobs then? So is
yes,
it?
Yes.
I've got a present for you two.
Okay.
This is turning into a present exchange, isn't it?
Well, while Tim goes and rustles in his bike pannier, the... jobs for April, same as you, Rachel. Mixture of seedlings. I mean, last year I had seedlings growing in January, tomatoes and aubergines. But I just had to wait. And that wasn't good for them. So I've slightly delayed. I think they got stressed waiting to go in the ground. So this year I've slightly delayed, just like you. So lots of seedlings on the go at the moment, and very excited because I'm growing so many things that I've never grown before. In terms of varieties.
Yeah.
So I'll keep you posted in that way. Apart from that, weeding and mulching.
Yes, weeding.
Weeding and mulching and getting things in the ground and rebuilding the shed. And the big project, Tim and I, we've been talking about it a lot, but it is now crunch time. But I now have time. Is getting the polytunnel up, getting the manure on the ground and getting the big polytunnel up.
Yeah.
6 by 3 metres because we love our polytunnels, but exciting. They've been a bit small. So yeah. We've got this big one that I Tim found on Facebook Marketplace. I went and bought it from an allotment down in Ipswich, and it's a thing of beauty. It will be a thing of beauty.
It will be.
Getting close to the point where we're going to have to leave it another year.
If it's not up, no, there's always.
We'll put it up.
I mean, we'll get it up. I mean, as long as it's up in the next 2-3 weeks, that will be fine.
Yeah, we'll find some time.
Yes.
Aside from putting up a polytunnel with Peter, have you got any other jobs, or will that one be such a big job?
I think that was going to be my main job, really.
Yeah.
Because we kind of struck a deal that I would turn over the saw and get rid of as much couch grass as possible, and then Peter was going to come and add in the manure. I actually started that in February, and loads of grass has grown back.
Oh, no.
So I've got to go back over it. But at least we can then identify that where the couch grass is, and there should be none left after that.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to be my main one. And the other thing I'm trying to do is I'm making an area for Lara.
Oh.
And I've been trying to make a mud kitchen. It's just bribery. She doesn't want to be on the plot. So I'm just trying to trick her into thinking it's a great place for her to be. That's it really. I think getting the rest of the potatoes in and the hotbed. I haven't put anything in that yet, which I'm ashamed to say because I was hoping to extend the season. That was the whole point of it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to put parsnips in there.
Yeah.
I may even put some of these beans in there, Peter, because it'd be great to get some earlies.
And in terms of germination, they like to be warm.
Yeah.
But growing conditions, they'll go well in a hotbed.
Yeah. And talking of your hotbed, given that you're both here today, I've got some plastic panels to give you to put on top of it if you do want to use it as a hotbod.
Hotbod. Hotbod.
He's got a hotbod.
Freudian slip.
Not using it as a hotbod.
Try eating two turds.
So, yes, I have some plastic to give you.
Oh, dear. I don't think anyone's ever said that about me before. So I'm going to take it if you meant it.
Keep it all in.
Yeah.
Do any of you... I'm moving swiftly on.
Yeah.
Do any of you grow artichokes?
No.
I have before, but I don't at the moment, no.
No, okay, I don't either, but it's a good time to do it. And I thought I might try growing some of Jerusalem artichokes. They make a really nice soup.
Ooh.
I think our plot's quite well suited for them because I see a lot of them around. So, could be a good one to do in Norwich.
Dry sandy soil. When I grew them, they did really well down here. Give it a go, Peter.
Yeah, excellent. I will do. I mean, other jobs, I noticed your garlic was looking a little bit yellowy, and I don't know if that's because it's been very cold, but it might be because it's a bit low in nutrients.
Mm.
And, the organic onion granules are perfect for that because they're slow release. Mm. But it might be, it's just a general thought that things that have been overwintered might benefit from a little feed.
That's a good idea.
I use a seaweed feed, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
Overwintered spring cabbage, kale. My broccoli's all coming up and looking really good, but I put that down to the manure. Sorry, I know I'm being boring. I love my manure.
Right.
But onions, a seaweed-based fertiliser, if anything's looking a bit jaded, is magic at this time of year. And if things are slightly, because things are growing, they need the nutrients.
Yeah.
As we said,
that's a good reminder because I bought some seaweed feed and I haven't used it yet and it's been in my car for about a month. So thank you, Peter.
And the other thing is, the other useful job generally that I think of this time of year is if it's not been done already, preparing the ground for tomatoes.
Yes.
We've talked about that earlier, but getting the ground ready for the tomatoes. There's a lot of talk, isn't there? I mean, I know the no-dig thing, but you kind of, preparing the ground and letting it settle. I'm always slightly conflicted about this because, of course, you're going to dig it all out when you put the seedling in. Mm. You know, if you've got a thing in a pot and the pot's 6 inches across, of course, you're going to have to dig it up. So,
but just not as much up.
Not as much, no, exactly. And I suppose the point I'm making is if you haven't prepared the soil and let it settle, it doesn't always unduly matter for some things.
Yeah.
Still better to get the manure in than not.
Yeah. I think Stephanie Hafferty said that on that episode, really, and she said, don't feel guilty about digging, and it's better to have something in the ground than nothing in the ground, which could be the case if you did dig for a whole year.
Yeah. Exactly, and I think she was very measured about that. And I think in terms of what you've just been saying about the polytunnel, I mean, the couch grass is so thick on our plots when they've been left. You will only get rid of that by digging.
Yeah.
There is no alternative. We've argued about it. I think we've come from probably have different points of view. If you want to wait 3 years for the cover, then please do. But we want the polytunnel up this year.
Well, Stephanie Hafferty said 1 year, but I had no dig cover on my plot, which I took away this week, which had been on there for a year, and couch grass was still there.
Oh,
it's
no.
really
so I think there are maybe some areas or some parts of the country which ours is one which has very persistent
strands can be over a meter long.
It's a beautiful day. I hope it's a beautiful day or a good gardening day for anybody who's listening, and if you'd like to get in contact with us to talk about anything that we've discussed today, then please do via our email at sunflowerlottmanpodcast@gmail.com or on Instagram and Twitter at sunflowerpod1. Thank you very much, you two.
Thank you.
It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for welcoming us to your plot again. I love coming up here.
Yeah, it is pretty as a picture. And although we're surrounded by houses, all you really see is trees.
Yeah, greenery.
Lots of birds.
Just another reminder of allotments of these magic little places in cities, and there is wildlife profusion. And isn't it so exciting? Here we are, middle of April.
Yeah.
The gardening season has really begun.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.